me, it's always about humanizing the stories. You know, it's very easy to become overwhelmed by statistics and become detached from these stories. So for me, you know, my main motivation is to go to these places and connect with families, with individuals, with communities, and really find a way of just telling their story. And I'm really interested in the normalcy of life, you know, the little things that go on, like a father brushing his daughter's hair, a mother preparing food for her child, her grandparents walking their grandchildren to school. You know, a lot of photographers, they travel to places and they want to show the differences between us. I really want to go to places and show the similarities. And so you might read about Afghanistan and you think, I have nothing to do with the people there. Through my photographs, I want to try and show that actually we're all very similar.
And how did it start your collaboration with UNHCR and especially on this refugees crisis?
I'm working on a long-term project called Legacy of War, which is looking at the long-term impact of conflict on communities around the world. Because I'm very interested in what happens to the civilians caught up in conflicts 10, 20, 30, 70, 100 years after a war ends. And as part of that project, the UNHCR got in contact and said, would I collaborate on working, looking at the refugee crisis through the Middle East and in Europe.
And now Massive Attack is including your pictures of the refugee crisis in Europe in their European tour. How did this collaboration start as well?
You know, I've known the guys from Massive Attack for nearly 25 years. And, you know, I knew them when I was a music photographer. When I do a project like this, telling the stories of the refugees, it's just as important as collecting the stories is making sure that people hear those stories. And I think it's really important to engage with audiences that wouldn't necessarily be looking at newspapers or watching the news on TV. And so I was trying to find different ways of getting these stories out. And I thought of the guys from Massive, and they've always been very involved in political issues and wanting to make statements. And so, you know, I said to them, is there a way we could collaborate? And without any kind of consideration, they just said straight away, we would love to show these photographs through our tour. And so, you know, we plan to have these photographs as part of the concert. But in the end, they decided to show the photographs at the end of the concert when the music had finished. And I was quite nervous about that. I wasn't sure how people would respond. But actually, it was incredibly moving to see everywhere from London to Berlin, Italy to Spain. When people saw these images at the end of the concert, they stood there and applauded. And it was a very, very moving thing as a photographer to see how people responded so positively to these stories.
So you come from a totally different universe from music and fashion, I read. How did this move happen to you?
Yeah, I mean, I started as a music and fashion photographer, and you know, that was an amazing 10 years of my life, but there was always a sense that I could do something more with my work. I was always frustrated. I felt that you know, I could be telling stories or I could try to do something useful with my photography. So I gave it all up and chose to follow the path of being a humanitarian documentary photographer. And, you know, I have to say it's the best decision I ever made, because for the first time in my life, by telling other people's stories, I felt I was doing something useful with my love that is photography.
And your pictures are often referred as true. I just received your book, One Second of Light, which is incredible. Is that what you try to capture, the truth of these countries torn by war?
You know, I think it's really important, as I say, just to show the individual stories. You know, there is no such thing as a single truth in any of these conflicts or any of these humanitarian disasters. You know, for me, it's just simply about recording what I witness. You know, I always say that's all I can be, is a witness to these events. And rather than look at the huge overall picture, it's by witnessing how a conflict affects a single family, how a war affects a single individual. And just by telling their truth, hopefully it gives us some insight and understanding to what people have to go through.
It was inevitable. I read the interview that you have at the end of the book. And you talk a little bit about your accident in 2011 and how journalists started saying that you became a different photographer, because that's a story that it's easier and stronger to sell, I believe. But what touched me was a video that I saw before of that, that you say that the first time that you saw your sister, you said, I'm still a photographer. But do you feel like you look at things in a different way? You were talking about the little details. Do you think that influences your work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel that before my injuries, you know, my approach and my desire was very similar, and that was always to try and create empathy with people in circumstance very different from us. You know, I never saw people as victims, but victims of their circumstance. And I always wanted to try and help create a connection with those stories so that people in the West would maybe understand and see, as say, people as individuals as opposed to just being. So I think my approach was there. When I got injured, within a few days of that injury, I remember arriving back in the UK. I was struggling really between life and death, and most people thought I wouldn't make it. But my sister saw that I was trying to say something, and so they took the oxygen mask off. And the only words that came out were, "I am still a photographer." And even at that stage, even when really many people weren't sure if I would live, I was already thinking about how I could return to photography and how my experience would actually make me a better photographer. You know, one of the hardest things doing the work that I do is to travel to places, to see people suffering, to take their photograph, and then know you can just get on a plane and leave them. And what I realized is that I would be in a situation where many of the people I'm photographing, I would have gone through very similar experiences to them. And I would really understand what it was like to be injured by a conflict and to live with those scars. So, as I say, from a very early stage, I decided I wouldn't focus on the things I couldn't do. Obviously, as a photographer, I wouldn't be as mobile. I wouldn't be able to run around and get into weird angles to take photographs. But what I would do is I would focus on these new advantages. And the main advantage I knew I would have, as I say, would be my empathy, would be the connection that I would have with people that had gone through similar experiences. So, you know, strange as it may sound to a lot of people, although I have many disadvantages following my accident, I actually think I'm a better person, and I'm most definitely a better photographer.